Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Halliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, everyone? It's Esther from Playa Society. I'll be this week's guest on Kicks and Shit Show.
What's good, everybody? We are back. It is your boy Gerard and your girl Gabby, episode 106 of the Kicks and Shit Show. Love doing the air horn blast. That's great. Gabby, what is going on in those streets?
Gerard, there is so much going on in these streets. I think, you know, it's a great time for sports. I feel like I say this every week, but it really is, you know, we are getting ready to start talking about preseason for a lot of my favorite sports. You know, the W is coming up to one of the most exciting times of year. I mean, the race for the playoffs is amazing. I just was in Connecticut for a Sun game on Tuesday. So I love seeing that. I got to watch one of my favorite players, Diana Taurasi, play.
Shout out to DT.
Yeah, and it just, it's a beautiful time. I've been back on the East Coast for a minute and just enjoying this New York life, you know? How about you, Dave? How was your vacation
was wonderful. Shouts to, shout the whole lovely island of Martha's Vineyard.
Martha's Vineyard. I don't know if anyone's ever said that before. After that.
That was a good one, right? You get a little like, you know. Shout out to Martha's Vineyard.
Warning.
It is a happy place. Love going there every summer. It's just a wonderful time. You know, I really, Gabby, disconnected, as you know. I mean, it's funny. I brought my laptop, did not open it once. Didn't check any emails. Like, it was great, man. It's just, you know, every once in a while, guys, when you can, you've got to find time to disconnect from this highly plugged in world. And just, it sounds crazy, but like, enjoy nature. Like, just sit on the beach and enjoy the marvel that is, oh, ocean, sand.
Get that vitamin D, you know what I mean?
It's wonderful.
For the record, I mean sunshine by that.
Yes,
but,
yes. That's correct. Vitamin D is sunshine. Correct, correct. No, but it was a lovely time, you know, trying to figure out how to make that a more permanent thing. Stay tuned. I don't know.
Listen. After show? Okay.
I think ultimately, you know, we talked about this early on when we started the show. The pandemic's crystallized, right? What ultimately matters, right? Like, what are we actually doing here? Is life about the acquisition of like things, or is it about memories and experiences with the people you care about, family, friends, loved ones, right? Like, right. What are the things that matter? What are the things that are actually valuable, right? And so, you know, when you get to do these things and have vacations, right, those things have value, right? And they bring you back energized, refreshed, recharged. You know, which is why, you know, we all need them and need them much more than we probably take them.
I totally agree with that. I think that's my toxic trait. I'm not great with that. And, you know, for those who are similar to me, which I know is a lot of us in that sense, there's never a good time. So you just have to do it.
No time's good.
The work continues. And I think, you know, I know for me, when I truly disconnect, that first day you're feeling a little antsy pantsy, but like by the time you lean into it, you come back and your work is actually better. You feel better. I mean, I said to somebody today when they said that they checked their iPhone report and they spent an hour and a half on Instagram yesterday. And I was like, huh, that's pretty good. And I'm like, in my defense, I also work in social media, but
correct.
That's a wild thing to say. It's not reverse. Get outside. Look up, right? You know, like fight against that tech neck. Do we open class? Go for a walk. Like these are all things that as much as like that hustle culture is such a big part of who we are. And I think, you know, productivity for a lot of companies during the pandemic went up so much.
No doubt.
Burnout because, you know, you could be in 10 hours worth of meetings, but because you don't have to go anywhere, back to back to back. And I think being kind to yourself, travel to me is one of the best ways to spend money aside from sneakers and experiences, right? Like that's what it's about at the end of the day.
Right.
And whatever that looks like for you, there's ways to travel on the cheap. Not everything has to be a crazy.
Got that right.
Thing, but, or you could channel our girl TJ and
budget
plan in advance, right? Like there's something that is so satisfying when you've saved up for something for so long and it's finally there to enjoy it. I think that's especially true, at least for me, with travel as well. So I love that, Jay. Love that.
No, thing. No doubt. And it's funny too, because, you know, talking about disconnecting, it's even, Gabby, something as simple as, so, you know, being a New York City resident, native, born and raised, all that, one of my favorite times in New York City, so this is now post-vacation, right? I'm back now, it's the weekend, it's Sunday. My favorite time in this city is Sunday mornings between the hours of 7 a.m. and 8:30, because for the city that never sleeps, that's actually the 90 minutes when most of the city is asleep, right? like Gabby. So I love to go out, and I'm lucky where we live. We're along the Hudson River. I don't have my AirPods in, so like there's nothing, right? Because AirPods have a way of like keeping you locked into whatever you're listening to, whatever you're doing. And I just listen to the sounds and it's like, whoa, it's just nice, right? You just, you come up off that, you're on Riverside, you cut up one of the blocks, you're like, quiet. This is great. Like you just get a chance to sort of connect again, you know, with the real world versus like my music, my pods, whatever else, my phone calls, whatever else I'm doing when I'm on my AirPods.
I'll say, I like to connect with nature with the new Beyonce album. So, you know, I'm very impressed. Like my brain, if I could turn it off like that.
Yeah.
I would love it. But I do think there is an importance of that, right? Where it's a skill that some of us have to learn, presently included, right? Like, and it's important. And there's been so much going on in the world lately. It gives you a chance to kind of catch up on all the things, right? I know we get so caught up in work and everything else, which it's great to get caught up in that, but it's important to stay connected at the same time.
No doubt. No doubt. You know, you talked about this is your favorite time of year because there's like, you know, training camps and preseason's going to start soon for football and hockey and basketball around the corner. Baseball, pennant races are going to start heating up. All WNBA is going to have their playoffs. And I mean, it's just we're getting into U.S. Open starts at the end of the month. I mean, it's just we're really into a nice little stretch here. You know, it's funny because like kind of have the dog days of summer, like the beginning of August. Right. And it's like, OK, it's a little. By the time you hit to end of August and the calendar turns to September. Yes, it's back to school for all you youngins. But, you know, it's also like, hey, the calendar's really starting to roll here. So that's another good time for us to sort of have a feeling of renewal, right, with newness coming on board. I'm excited, Gabby, for our guest because this is a person who started their own brand, heavily involved in women's sports, a baller herself. I think it's going to be a really dope conversation, and I can't wait for you guys to check it out. So stay tuned. Gabby, we are not alone. We are joined by the founder, lead designer, baller, sneakerhead for Playa Society, Esther Wallace. What's good?
Hey, what's up? Glad to finally be here.
Well, we are glad to have you. Gabby, you've been singing your praises for months. We got to get Esther. I'm like, all right, well, get her on. What you, I mean, what you just get her on. But, you know, you're a busy woman. You got a lot happening in these streets, running a company out there doing speaking engagements, all different kinds of things. So we really have to start in the beginning, from the beginning. When did you fall in love with sneakers?
Sneakers. Well, I mean, I was an artist and a creative long before sports even came to the picture. So sneakers, probably maybe middle school, maybe around eighth grade, seventh grade, definitely around then.
And what was that first pair that you were like, yo, these are...
Well, the truth is I was a serious art nerd. So my favorite thing was just a fresh pair of Converse and using those as a blank canvas. I was always the one that was painting my kicks. Actually, I'll have to add in, I was a huge like Bow Wow fan at the time too. Okay. So whenever that video came out for, the basketball. So this was even before I played basketball, but he had those airbrush sneakers and I was like, whoa. So definitely like a fresh pair, like a blank canvas. So any like Air Force Ones, Converse, those were my thing. And I was always painting my sneakers and doing things like that.
I love that. So as an artist, when you see collaborations, what for you are you like, man, why did y'all pick that silhouette? Like how does your thought process go around when you see a collaboration? You're like, no, man, let's just stick to these blank ones. Then you can do whatever you want. Like, how do you think about collaborations when you see them?
You know, for the most part with creatives, at least, you know, for me, I'm always trying to respect, you know, their perspective and their art. So I try to lead with
like,
that.
You'd be like, man, that shit is trash. You're like, this is whack. It's like, oh, you can say it. It's fine.
I try to lead with that. But I mean, I think that there should be, and there most often is now, some type of story there, right? So if you dig a little deeper and you know, there's always the rationale behind, okay, that's why they went with the silhouette. Usually it makes sense. So I'm like, okay, if that's the story you wanted to tell, then, you know, you did that. You're good.
But the Air Force One or Fresh Pair of Converse or even you know, the Jordan one, those simple silhouettes, right? You can do a lot with, right? Versus, I don't know, I don't really see a whole lot of collaborations with like Jordan, like 24s. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, like, I don't know, I picked a random silhouette just to be like, what's one that's got a lot of funky stuff on it, right? Like, you just don't, because it's harder to do stuff that's already got things going crazy on it.
That's very true. Yeah. Because I mean, usually those already have like their own little story or something. You know what I mean? So they're already, you know, kind of one dimensional a little bit.
I love that. One question about that. I feel like that's also why Vans has so many collabs lately, because it is literally a blank canvas on some of those shoes. But do you have any of your old pairs? And maybe I'm getting ahead of our next segment. Hey, but
jumping ahead.
You know, sprinkle some gems just in case you need your sneaker closet, Gerard. But like, I love the creative process. And I think, you know, that's what I love about your brand so much. Like, are there still mementos from your journey that you've kept along the way?
Unfortunately not. As far as like sneakers, like painted sneakers, unfortunately not. I have no idea what happened to them, to be honest. Like, there's not even a cool story. Like, I lost them and, you know, I don't know. I don't know, some event or something like that, or moving, or I don't know. They just kind of fell by the wayside.
Man, it should be in your museum, man.
I know, right? I mean, they're all up. Maybe I could recreate them.
I don't know what they look like. I think, you know, today, especially with social media, there's so much overlap between art and sneakers and sports, when I think growing up, we didn't necessarily have that in the same way. So when did you start getting into sports? I know you talk about your art background, but when did sports come into play for you?
So I didn't start playing sports until I was a sophomore in high school. And that's when I got my first pair of basketball sneakers. so that was actually a really cool journey, because, I mean, it almost seems like they're two different worlds a little bit, or at least for me at the time, it felt like two different worlds. And then once I started getting into like the basketball sneaker side of things, that was, you know, a whole different, it was like a new experience for me.
So how did you go from, as your self-described words, super art nerd to basketball player sophomore year of high school? That's quite the leap.
It is. It is. So, I mean, actually, that is a weird story, because I was ready to go to, we had this performing arts high school that was like in the middle of nowhere in a town that I really had never been to. And all my friends were going to the local public high school. I was like, you know, I'm going to go to this performing. Springfield, Mass. Okay. Springfield, Massachusetts. The birthplace of basketball.
There you go. Shout out to Dr. James Naismith.
Yep. And so I was dead set on going to this performing arts high school. I went there for like 3 or 4 days, and I was like, this is not for me.
Wow, really?
And then, and then the next week, I just showed up at the local public high school, and I was like, hey, like I was supposed to be there the whole time. And it just so happened that happened to be the best girls basketball team in the state. They were nationally ranked. They had some of the best players in the country on the team. I didn't know any of that at the time, but I just happened to end up there.
Amazing.
And I'm also 6'1", so they wanted me to play.
Well, I was going to say, I was like, well, they're just like, call girl, yes, you, come on down. We need some height around here.
Exactly. And I was very, like, anti. I was like, no, I don't want to play basketball. I was like, I'm a fashion designer. I know exactly what I want to do. I know exactly where I want to go. So I was pretty hard-headed at first. So all freshman year, I was like, no, I don't want to play basketball. But I can't even really say what it was. I just joined the team and...
The rest was history in that way. So, I mean, up to that point, so it's freshman year. What you hadn't even dribbled a ball yet in your life, I imagine, right? Had you?
Not really. I went to one basketball practice, and I remember the coach just had us run. And I was like, I'm not doing this. So I don't even know how to run. Like, what is this?
Like, we got to run? Oh, no. Yeah, no cardio for me. Thanks. I'm good.
Exactly. So that was like my first. I mean, maybe we picked up a basketball at that practice eventually, but that was my first experience with it. I was like, I'm not doing this. No.
All right. So obviously you played throughout high school. So the love had to, when did the love begin? Or was it never love? Was it just kind of like, oh, we gonna just, you know, messing around, but we don't really love you like that?
No, it was pretty immediate, I would say. I think the first thing that stood out was like the competitiveness. Like, I hated to lose. So I knew that very early on. And then, so right, sophomore year, probably the season probably usually starts around Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. I remember by January of that year, our varsity team played the number one team in the country, mm-hmm. which just happened to have the number one player in the country at the time, who was Tina Charles. Mm-hmm. And so she was the first person that I saw where I was like, oh, like, because my teammate, like, we had some good players, but you know, they weren't
Tina Charles.
And they also weren't like, you know, in the gym. They weren't like, I wasn't looking up to them, you know. They weren't like in the gym.
Keep it a buck. Tina Charles gave them that work, right? She gave them that work.
she really did. I can't remember. I know she only played three quarters of the game.
Because the game was already over. Like, I'm good.
Exactly. So she was like the first player that I looked up to, and I was like, oh, wow, like, I want to do that. Yeah.
I love that. And then I think, you know, what's interesting about your story, right, is that you found a way to come back to art when you founded Playa Society. So talk more about mm-hmm. kind of that next step and how you brought all of your favorite things together.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that, I still can't believe that happened, because I am I'm kind of late tunnel vision kind of person, right? So once I started playing basketball, once I fell in love with basketball, my thought process was I'm going to play overseas and then I'm going to coach and, you know, win some championships. I don't know. those were the goals.
So wait, but before you get in that, so you played high school, then you went to college, you played at FDU.
I went to college.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. Okay. And then you went overseas?
Yep. I played in England. I played and I coached as well. And I was also getting my master's degree. So that's actually what brought me back to the conversation of apparel and kind of the conversation of women in sports apparel. Mm. It was just like this wide open conversation, and I didn't know where it was going to take me. But eventually, like, took a long time for me to actually get to that point where I saw the vision for Playa Society.
Hello, listener. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that we at Cinephobe love our pets. Zach and Boogie are inseparable. I've got two cats and a dog, and Amin is giving his best ass-on performance to convince dog owners that he loves their pet.
Hey, little, hey, boy, how you doing? And Noodle's just like, ah,
whatever. Which is why today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. For many pet parents, summer is all about making travel plans like adventuring through the national parks, visiting pet-friendly beaches, or road tripping across the country. Wherever your journeys take you and your furry friend, you can help protect them along the way with a plan from ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance. Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher-turned-podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep. Free shipping, vacuum sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal, ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Lolly Focus Pops or Lolly Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Nice. And so, all right, you come back, you're like, I'm going to do this player society thing because there's a gap I recognize out here. Women are not getting what they need. Because, Gabby, we talk about it all the time, right? Like, why can't we find WNBA, like, I mean, merch? Forget about, like, we can get into the whole thing about women's sports. I'm like, why can't I just find a New York Liberty tee? Or whatever.
Like, is that too much to ask? I don't think so. Yeah.
So you saw a gap and you were like, look, let's design some things that women like. Let's promote women's sports. Because if you like the sport, you like it, right? And women's hoops is dope. Like, if you like basketball, what's not to like about women's hoops? Like, college. I remember when I was in high school, our high school girls were way better than our boys. Not even close. Yeah, we would go all around the state to support them. It was great. Like, I mean, if you like ball, you like ball, right? It doesn't matter.
And we had that same vibe at my high school. Like, both of our teams were contenders for the state championship. The girls won. You know, we did our thing. But we had so much support. So it was actually kind of even a little bit of a foreign concept, especially for me, because I was so new to the game. I was just used to that amount of support. And then when I got to college and things were so drastically different, like on the funding side and just the support from universities or the NCAA, that's when I was like, oh, like, this is different.
Yeah. I mean, you talk about the funding, right? Like, so you mentioned Tina Charles, right, who, of course, went on to start UConn, which is a whole different thing, right? Like, UConn women's basketball is an institution, right?
100%.
Like, they and the men's program is also good, too, has won national championships. But the women, like, that's like, they've won tons of national titles, tons of Olympians. So they get quite a bit of funding from the school, right? They generate a lot of income, whatever. But, you know, you go to a D3 school or you're playing at a lower Division I school and it's women's basketball, and it's like, yeah, not a whole lot of money's going on. I don't think people really understand how college athletics funding works, right? Like, at most schools, well, at the major program level, right? So the power conferences, right? SEC, ACC, Big 12, yada, yada, all that. Football and basketball are the only revenue-generating sports. And at most schools, it's only football. Basketball ain't even generating money, and that's on the men's side. So millions of dollars, and then it gets divvied out amongst everybody. It's not just the football and basketball teams. It's baseball, it's crew, soccer, tennis, golf, whatever other sports your team's got, that they're divvying up all that money. And by the time, the way that it's been going on for years, though it's changing now, by the time I got the women's sports, they were like, yeah, we got about $5 left in the kitty for you guys. So here you go. Right? I mean, that's been the deal. So we're glad to see that things are slowly changing. As we know, progress happens just like slowly. Molasses in January, just slow.
Yep.
So like that, Gabby, like that.
I didn't know how long that was going to go on. I was like, I'm going to let you finish. Okay. Do we have like a cricket soundbite that we can put in here? Like, is there one of those sound effects drop?
I'll tell Hugh to just, as I say slow, I'll be like, Hugh, drop the crickets in right here.
And then we need that SpongeBob 2 hours later, dot, 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 right in between the two. But it's true. I think, you know, I know there's a lot of social media conversation around like the difference and the inequities in women's sports versus men's sports. But, you know, the big year being the anniversary, a major anniversary of Title IX, you know, when you see the All-Star trophy and the championship trophies.
That was wild. I'm like, Kelsey Plum had like a little like Cracker Jack prize. I'm like, what is that? It was in a cereal box. You could find that thing.
I mean, haters will say it's Photoshopped. Am I right? Like, it's so insane to me. And I know, Esther, we've talked a lot about this too, about like, to me, I think it's like a no brainer when it comes to like merch, you want to rep your team. And that's what it's about, right? Like, Gerard, we always talk about like the emotional fan. Give the emotional fan some fits. Like, that's what I always say. And Esther, I was at a Sparks game a couple weeks ago, and I saw a girl in the Playa Society Sparks shirt. And we did like, it was like the Jeep wave. We did like a little smile and nod, and I was like, she gets it. All right. But I feel like this is just the beginning. And like, you guys know, I'm rocking my eBay female sneaker head.
Love it.
Top today from the collab that we did last year. And I think I'd love to talk more about just this whole mentality, right? With the female crossed off and just that equality messaging. So how did you kind of come up with this kind of logo? Cause I feel like that's kind of what got you started, right? Like, female cross-off athlete.
I was actually looking for something today, and I saw the first like invoice for my first female athlete t-shirts. I was like, dang, that was a long time ago. But I mean, that whole thing, to be honest, it's kind of weird to think about it, because I think it was just a natural thing. You know, I remember kind of just looking at the words and just thinking, you know, what if I just cross out female, like what if you know that's the message, and it's really that simple. I probably did a lot of overthinking before that, like what am I gonna design for this next drop or whatever it was. But you know, sometimes it's just that simple. The message is that simple and in your face, and I wanted to do something that felt kind of risky, you know, like, you know, because it challenges the status quo, and that's really what I wanted to do initially.
No, and you're doing it. So now when you see women out there with your apparel on, whether it's you are in public seeing them because you're at a game, or people are stunting on the gram and tagging, like, that's got to make you feel really good to see that.
I mean, yeah. When I went to All-Star in Chicago, I was like, I got off the plane and I was like, is this Playa Society? like a whole vibe here? Like everywhere I went in Chicago during All-Star weekend, everybody was wearing something like the Chicago. We've done a lot of Chicago drops recently. But, you know, all from the line, from all throughout the product line, there were just people everywhere wearing Playa Society.
That's what it really is, like a test of the collection and the work that you're doing, right? Is that it shows two things to me. One, ain't nobody else doing that out there, and it's true. Trust me, I've been looking. Gerard knows. I'm like, do I go on Etsy to buy like a bomber jacket in my team color and buy a patch and make this happen? Or I'm like, hey, Esther, I was like, is this coming out for this team? Like, I just want to rock this the game and just see how many people I talk to. And it's always a lot. I think, you know, the thing about it that I love is that it brings people together in the way that the female crossed off logo does. Like, this isn't just for women. Like that's what I love about it. Is it, and that's the purpose of sport. That's the purpose of culture, is to bring people together. And I think you do a really cool job with that. And I think I love to see where it took you this year with your collection with the WNBA. So tell us more about that.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's been what, 10 months maybe now with the WNBA, 11 months maybe. So it feels like it's been such a long time, but it's really only been like 10 months. And so, everything has been moving super fast. Like this season, I didn't even, when people were asking me what's coming out next with the WNBA, I think I even told you, I was like, Gabby, I literally don't know until it happens.
Surprise.
So I can't really tell you what's coming, because, you know, I'm just going to try and do everything that I can, everything I can fit into production without like my production guys being pissed at me, you know, all the last minute orders that I keep sending them. But so it's really just that. It's just like a matter of me wanting to do the work, right? And wanting so badly to like provide something for the fans and the players, because it's about them as well. And to see them excited and grateful that people can, you know, rep them and support them on their teams. Like, that's a huge part of it too. So it's honestly just like, I'm moving off of emotions, you know, like you talk about the emotional fan. It's I'm the emotional designer.
Esther, what's that process like? So you're partnered with the WNBA, and is it like, all right, you contract to do X amount of pieces per whatever, and is it that set? Like, all right, 4 tees, a tank, 2 hoodies, a hat, and then you then decide, and then you are the final designer. Like, what is that process like?
I mean, I think that a lot of it is still so early and so relatively new, that really, I mean, for me, and this is how I've always been, it's just, it's me pushing the envelope a little. I'm asking, like, can we do this? Let's do this. Mm-hmm. So it's more me just like, let's do all these things. And whatever you tell me, like, we can't do for whatever reason, or we don't have time to do, or whatever it might be, then okay, then what can we do? Okay. So I'm really just over here trying to do the most is what I'm doing.
I like it. No, because it's again, you're building a brand, right? And that's where you are. And I think, again, with the female cross out, that's such a
it's iconic.
It's getting to that iconic level, right? Where it's like, oh, I know what that is, right? Like, I mean, you know, that any designer, like, that's your dream, right? Like, you want to be on par with the Swoosh or the Jumpman logo or what, 3-stripe, like, right? Like, where people just, oh yeah. Like, right, there's a sense of like belonging when you, right? You see, like, as Gabby said, you give the jock nod, or in the female case, the other, right? Like, you're just kind of like,
I didn't know the jock nod was a thing. I'm like,
right? You just, like, that's just the jock nod, right? Or you're just like, yeah, you're identifying, like, I see you, right? Like, we're repping that's amazing. So you talk about the W, obviously, that's what this piece partnership is, the W. You know, Sue Bird retiring, one of WNBA legends. You know, it really, there's been such a plethora of talent. We talked about Kelsey Plum's horrible little WNBA MVP trophy. I was like, what is that little thing? but, you know, as we talk about women's sports and equality, you know, and continuing to get ladies their due and their fair share, Kelsey had made some comments earlier this season about how she was often targeted by the WNBA for marketing ads because she looked a certain way, she was straight, right? Like, all the different, you know, sort of tropes that, you know, the people in marketing rooms who put out there, no, the league won't sell if we front face all these gay women. And it's like, but why? Like, what? Why won't it? Like,
you don't, when you in the office,
when you watch NBA, you don't say, is LeBron gay or straight? Like, right? Like, you don't ask those questions, right? That's not, you don't wonder, you know, right? You just, okay, LeBron's good at basketball,
let's
right?
Talk about
like,
that.
You know, really good at basketball.
Talking about that, I'm here for that topic.
Oh, Lord. Listen, LeBron hater. We don't
need to be LeBron hater. LeBron on the court. I am not a LeBron hater. I'm on the court, off the court. Anyway,
but my point being, no one asks those questions, right? Okay, or cares to want to know, right? But with WNBA, what I'm like, what are we doing? Why do we decide to market this differently? And I just feel like, you know, the league just they've missed so many opportunities, because the amount of talent that's come through this league in its history, it's just like, man, y'all really dropped the ball on some things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I know we talk about it in terms of sneakers all the time, but like the fact that it took brands this long to come out with another signature shoe for a female. I'm like, shouts to Stewie, like, that one was fire. And she's been rocking some cool colorways. Like, every game I'm like, is this the one? Is it out yet? Or is this just another dope colorway? But the fact that, like, that's the first since Cheryl Swoops, like, come on, Nike.
Yeah. Don't hate us. Gotta get better on that.
Real. But, like, I think in general, to your point, like, that's what it is, right, Gerard, is that we need to treat women and female athletes with the same way that we treat males. I don't even mean like, I'm not even saying like
the shirt says, it says sneakerhead, just cry, right? They're just ballers. It don't matter.
People are people. And I think like, there's something that I see every once in a while going around on social media that's like, would you ask the man that question? And I'd be like, that should be the gut check for everything. right? If you're not going to ask a dude that, mm-hmm. then you should definitely not be asking a woman that. Or if it's
definitely personal, not.
Like, nah. But I think, you know, you really opened up the door with this WNBA and the Fanatics partnership this year. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I love seeing all your stuff. What's next?
What's next? Well, I mean, like I've said in the past, I have no idea. But, well, I'll say this. The most important thing for me this year, obviously creating dope stuff was really important. But more important than that was building a team, because it's been just me, right? So I've been the designer, the social media, marketing, PR, everything, right? And so I finally found a great teammate. She's about 2 months in now. So we're getting, you know, we're getting our kind of workflow mm-hmm, going. Mm-hmm, we're getting our rhythm. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to be a really dope team. So, you know, I think the sky's the limit really from there. You can't do anything without dope teammates in my opinion. So.
are you championing for yourself, Gabby? No, look, as a... What?
I think you're a dope teammate. That's what I'm...
Thank you. As a basketball player, you understand that though, Esther, right? Like, and it's a funny thing. It's a conversation mm-hmm. I have with fans all the time. We do this thing where it's like, Michael Jordan's won 6 titles. And I'm like, these people don't win titles by themselves. Right. I don't understand why we attribute these things as solo wins. Like, MVP awards and all that, cool. But titles, you don't win by yourself. Yeah, you may have been the leading scorer. Yeah, whatever. But you ain't winning. Listen, as great as the Warriors were, they winning the title this year. No Kevon Looney. They ain't winning that title, right? And people are like, Kevon Looney here. It's like, yeah, but he got all the rebounds, right? All the things that you don't realize matter. Extending possessions, right? Giving Steph another chance, like a 3-point shot, right? That don't happen if someone don't get the ball first, right? I mean, but our brains aren't conditioned to do that. So as a basketball player, you understand it's, you know, Greg Popovich had a great line one time talking about Kawhi. He's like, Kawhi made the leap when he realized, when I design a play, it isn't necessarily for you to score. It's for us to score. And once you realize, oh, like the light bulb goes on, that's when the game becomes mm-hmm. so much easier, right? Same thing with your business, right? Once you and your teammate get into rhythm and the flow, you're like, it ain't about me per se. Yes, I'm the founder and the lead designer, but I can't do this by myself, right? Like, I need help. And once that flows, it's a beautiful thing. Teamwork makes the dream work, Gabby. That's what they say.
That is what they say. And the work continues, right, Trad?
Oh, the work definitely continues. We would be remiss talking about WNBA if we didn't touch on the Brittany Griner situation. By the time this episode airs, it had already been a week past. But she was sentenced to 9 years in prison in Russia today for the charges of transporting vape cartridges. You know, we could talk about this, and I want to make sure we do it in an elevated way. Everyone, I think, on this show agrees that punishment does not seem to fit the crime. Okay, we could all agree that, and we believe that Brittany Griner should be home. Conversely, we can also say that when you are a citizen of another country traveling in a country that is not yours, particularly one that is, for all intents and purposes, a de facto dictatorship, be very clear about what is and isn't allowed, because, again, this isn't a democracy, right? Clearly, as you see, they can do whatever they want. And there is no check and balance to be like, well, maybe we shouldn't. That's not how the game works over there, right? You can just literally make up whatever and decide to do what you do. And you saw that with the posturing, how long they held her before the... It's just constant, like... It's like, all right. And we do know, you know, Russia and the U.S. are, you know, they're antagonists, right? Like, they are not... They're not natural allies, right? These are two of the world's superpowers, and this is posturing in geopolitical chess. And it's unfortunate that someone like Brittany Griner has to be a pawn in this game of chess between two countries. Because if we're being 100% honest, Russia certainly doesn't care about her, and for what it matters, this country doesn't care about her either. In that regard, right? The people that care about her are her family members, teammates, friends, and loved ones. But I'll open the floor.
I think we both just said it of what we're thinking with that, like, that moment of pause right there. You guys, that was not a blip in your, no errors on the bomb feed, y'all. That was a genuine, like, shake my head. I mean, everything about this is wild. I think there's so much to unpack here that we could do a whole show about this. Mm. Whether it be like a political play and standpoint, I think, you know, even just as we talk about women in sports and pay equity, like there's a reason that so many players play abroad and are able to create a better life for themselves and their families, improve their craft. So like, even like, what are the ramifications of this? Like, this is going to make everything change in a way that we haven't even talked about yet. And it just echoing you, Gerard, in the sense that like, when you go abroad, I know America is very much not perfect.
Very much not. Very much not.
But it is. But make sure that you're clear on kind of what those rules and regulations are. Like, I feel for Brittany and her family and the team in the league. It is so wild the way that this has transformed and unfolded in ways that I don't think any of us can imagine. And it's really scary. I mean, I don't love the narrative of we do negotiate with terrorists, but I just think that this situation opens up a different conversation.
I mean, you know, that's our public stance, that we don't negotiate with terrorists. But of course, we all know we actually do negotiate with terrorists all the time.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's still unbelievable, you know. And of course, today with the sentencing coming out, you know, everybody, we've just been so hopeful, right? That, you know, this it can't go that way, or, you know, she has to come back home and be with her wife and her family and everybody who cares about her. I mean, that's the most important part, you know. Like, how can we get this Black queer woman home? We don't even know the conditions. We don't know. We don't know anything. From what I've known so far, people haven't been able to communicate with her. So, you know, it's just that hope that, you know, she's holding up, but she gets back home very, very soon.
Yeah. And to put a bow on it, look, the Russian government could have done this much differently, right? Like, okay, she broke your laws, and that's fine. Like, as I said, you break laws in a country that's not yours, you do have to face a punishment for that, right? Just like if someone came here and did something, it would be the same thing, right? However, right, it is very obvious that, you know, this was a move because the U.S. government decided to back the Ukraine, who, by the way, Russia still engaged in a war with, right? Like, they said, oh, well, you want to play that game? We're going to play this game with you, right? Again, as I said at the top, this is a high-stakes game of geopolitical chess, and unfortunately, Brittany Griner is a pawn in this game. Sorry, guys, to bring it down on such a sad note, but have no fear, because coming up next, to get everybody's mood brighter, is Shoe and Tell, America's favorite segment. I have a feeling, although she said already, she don't got none of those old-school painted pairs that she had back in the day, so we ain't going to see none of those. But I got a feeling she'll have some pretty good stuff to show us. Everybody, stay tuned. Gabby, we are back, and you know what time it is. America's favorite segment, Shoe and Tell, presented by Another Lane. Listen, every week we get on here, I tell you about AnotherLane.com. I tell you about Chad Jones, Sneaker Galactus, and his wife, Adina Jones. Listen, just get on AnotherLane.com, find out all the information you need, and go support Black-owned businesses like Playa Society and Another Lane. Okay, now, so Esther, Shoe and Tell is really, it's your thing. It's like when you were in kindergarten. Bring your thing, tell us why you like it, why it's important. So the floor is yours.
Well, I have to preface this. For me, you know, you can have all the sneakers in the world, but the ones that are most special to me, I love the creators and the stories behind the sneaker. I love a good Black-owned business. I love, you know, a Black artist and all of those things. So all that said, my favorite is always the Pierre Moss.
That's a perfect shoe right there.
These are the ones that I keep in the box, but I do have a pair that I literally wear almost every day. As a reminder to myself, just like what's possible as, you know, a Black designer, a Black creative, a Black-owned business, kind of keeps me grounded in that thought process every day. So always got to show that.
Shout out to Reebok, you know, doing
all
that
right,
thing.
Hold that up one more time.
Let's hold that out so people can see it. Yep. That's the Pierre Moss. Shout out to that. I mean, that, you know, that that's such a great silhouette and construction. You know, and as you said, you like the stories. Anything about the story particularly stick out to you, stand out to you?
I mean, I think that it's the dopest thing is just like knowing Kirby's, like his industrial or like relationship with cars and how much he's into that side of things, and to kind of see just that perspective come together so perfectly in a sneaker. I just think that's dope. Whenever you can take something and you can translate it in a way that's not super obvious, but you know, it still makes sense. I think that's really dope. So.
Love it. All right. What else you want to show us?
Well, I mean, kind of like piggybacking off of that, the sculpt. this is like a Pierre Ma show and tell. But no, this, I just have to bring this one up too, because obviously the experiment is a Reebok collab, but this one being Kirby's like sneaker that they put out without the collab, to me, that's huge. I value that. And I think that is so big for an independent brand to be able to do something like that. Cause I can only imagine, you know, what that's like. So that sneaker is pretty special to me. I feel like that's like the first, probably the first sneaker that I own that I feel like a Black person like made without that collab.
Okay.
I like that. I feel like I keep thinking of our guest last week, Langston Galloway. Esther, we're going to send you some info on his ethics line too, just because he talked a lot about that process and creating your own brand from a sneaker perspective. And whew, it's a lot of
What else? You showing us more? Or that's it. You peer monster out.
I mean, I have the Just Dons as well in the same conversation. But these I had to get because similarly, I was just like, just made your own sneaker in Italy. That's dope. So I had to get these. I feel like these are the most unique sneakers, you know, that stand out from in my collection, that stand out from, you know, some Jordans, some ones, or you know, anything like that. So these to me stand out the most in my collection.
I like when our guests, and as you know, Gabby, we love Jordan Brand here at Nike, and like we love them. Shout out to our friends again, size 7 and size 11. Send us all the free merch. But it is always nice when someone gets to show off some things in our collection. You're like, you know, yeah, because you got those things too. But you're like, actually, let me show some love to some other things that I really enjoy in my collection. It's nice. Because it echoes something that Big Waz said. It's like, it's not just about the big brands and the big hype. It's like, if you're really into this and you like it, you'll find something everywhere and something will speak to you. And that's what you showed with the pairs you showed us, Esther.
Yep. Yeah. I think that is too relatable. I think too many sneakers are talking to me and they got to those
voices for a little bit. All the sneakers are talking to Gabby at once. Esther, this was dope. We really appreciate having you on. Tell the people where they could find you, where they could find Playa Society, and order themselves some merch.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this was dope. You can find me and Playa Society. I think we're one and the same. At Playa Society on Instagram, at Playa_Society on Twitter, and you can shop at PlayaSociety.com.
Love it. Love it. And as folks, you know, we are part of the Count the Dings Network with the Original Bomb Show, Crypto Bros, Rap Names. I mean, you know, all these amazing shows they have every day. Of course, we are at Kicks and Shit Show on all social media platforms. And until next time, everybody, peace.
Peace.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community and of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community and of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.